Hey, hey, this is Bree Bagwell with your OnlyFans Breecap, and Aaron Behrens from San Saba, Texas, was someone I first knew of as one half of the Austin-based group Ghostland Observatory, often described as electro dance soul rock. I mean, Sad Sad City was a total go-to jam when I was in college, but we'd never met until this podcast where I felt like he was an immediate friend. We get into some behind-the-curtain moments, such as why he had wore his signature stage braids and stage pants with Ghostland, but then we also talk about the solo songs and full-length record he's about to launch. And we reminisce about Austin in the early 2000s. I checked out Ghostland's Instagram, and they have some really cool stuff coming up. But be sure to follow Aaron at Aaron Behrens, B-E-H-R-E-N-S, and AaronBehrens.com for all things happening with my new buddy. I can't believe it. Ghostland on my podcast. How cool is that? Enjoy. Hey, y'all, it's Bree Bagwell. I want to invite you to join me August 12th through 16th in Red River, New Mexico for 8750 Music Festival. This boutique festival features 4 days and four nights of outstanding musical performances across five venues and includes a barbecue cook-off and a red and a green chili cook-off. 3 day passes are on sale now, and your ticket gets you into every show of the festival and includes two free meals. You can get tickets, sign up to compete in the cook-off, and learn more at 8750festival.com. That's 8750festival.com. And use coupon OnlyVans. That's OnlyVans, all caps, no space at checkout to get $10 off your 3 day pass. 8750 Festival, adjust your altitude. By the way, me and producer Kyle, we're both playing at the festival, so you can come see us there.
If one goes, it will never be again.
Right.
You know? So that's the kind of relationships I'm interested in getting into with my musical partners, you know? And that's with Jonas. He, you know, I can take him a song. I'm a real hook guy. Like, a lot of times I hear the hook first.
Right.
Like, that's always my first thing. I make trot lines. I don't make hook after hook after hook after hook, okay?
Hey, hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van. Kyle has, I have these hats that say, I want to be where the sugar daddies are, and, and Kyle is wearing it right now. I want to be where the sugar daddies are.
Is that a hot item? Merch item right there?
Well, we either sell zero of them or we sell
all
of them. It's like a hoodie, you
Depends
know?
Depends on where you're at.
Yeah, but I thought I ended up putting like Bree Bagwell pins on them just because it doesn't have my name on it.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea.
I didn't feel comfortable putting my name on that hat.
And honestly, it kind of looks like, it honestly, if you do the pins on it, it adds an extra bit of bling to the swag, you know?
That's right. That's a really,
I like it.
Yes, and you can charge more. But yeah, that was my viral TikTok. I was like, my team said it. You got your first viral TikTok. I'm like, yay, I'm going to get a record deal and get it signed. And I'm like, what is it? It's the sugar daddies.
All my dreams are going to come true.
You know, the TikTok thing. That's how you get famous. You should start a TikTok.
You don't even need talent.
Listen, I'm so excited. How do we sound, Kyle? We sound great. My friend Aaron Behrens is here in the flesh.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And you're wearing your sunglasses, so I had a really bad eyelash day today, so I'm also wearing my sunglasses.
So the sunglass gods,
here we are,
blessed us today.
Yes, and I celebrated Valentine's Day yesterday, so.
I did too.
What did you do yesterday?
Well, I mean, so yesterday, actually the day before, right, Saturday, yeah, was Valentine's. My daughter's birthday's on Valentine's.
Cute.
So
you got a bunch of women in your life.
I have tons of women. I have three daughters. So
that's amazing.
So my middle daughter, Melanie, her birthday was on Saturday. So we were at a dance competition and then had a birthday. And yeah. So.
You are surrounded by
full daddy.
Lip gloss and
hair ties.
Hair.
But that's nothing. That was my youth.
It was? What, yeah. What do you mean? Because you had...
Well, just growing up performing and stuff, just always been around hairspray and loud people.
Well, you need a hair tie, too.
I do.
So,
I have a hair tie back here.
I know. I was wondering if you still had your really long hair.
I do. It actually is a back and forth thing with me. I'm either like, man, should I cut it?
Right.
No. Yes, no. So,
well, the brains are kind of a signature.
It is. It's
right?
it's hard to get away from, you know. And it's crazy because it's like, you know, the whole dang reason I started wearing braids in the first place was because Willie Nelson.
No way.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you this because okay, well, we're obviously talking about the Ghostland days. I was like, such a signature look for you, and it was because of Willie.
Well, all of it was not planned at all. Just like Ghostland was not planned. So that's what's crazy about it. I really liked Willie, and I'd get off work on Fridays. I would just hit the back roads and just go listen to Willie, Bob Marley, just fucking cruise, smoke down, have a good time, just unwind, you know? And I remember I was getting ready for my show the first time, and I was like, I got to do something different. So I was like, dude, I'm just going to put my hair in braids like Willie. And then my buddy was like, hey, here's these aviators. Just throw these on. I just had them sitting around. I was like, okay, cool. So I just put those on, had my wife's, you know, white pants on, and
I remember the white pants.
Yeah.
The ACL white pants.
Yeah, the ACL white pants, and then also her pink corduroy pants was
right.
Hers. Yeah, those are some of the first pants I wore, so those are her pants.
Oh, my gosh.
So everything was just like, just, you know, out of the closet and thrown together, and it just happened.
And then that's so funny, because I remember when a guy came to a show one time, and I'd been playing for a couple years, and he goes, I drove 2 hours to be here, and you're not wearing your red boots. And that was when I realized that those were my signature thing.
Yeah.
But the reason I had those is because Anderson Bean gave me a pair of red boots, and they were the nicest boots that I had. And so I just wore them every time, and I didn't even realize I was creating
an image.
An image.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a weird thing, right? And it's like, as artists, it's like, it sticks with you, but at the same time, as an artist, you change.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's like hard to keep that.
Yeah.
Keep the plaster up. You know, we got to resurface these walls again, you know?
I know. You're trying to keep it fresh, but also keep the, you know, nostalgia for people.
Well, but also be true to yourself.
Right.
I think that's the constant grasping at as an artist. You know, you're always trying to be, where am I at? Where am I projecting from at this point in time? And does it reflect what I used to be, or is it where I'm going, you know?
Right. Or my producer, she asked me, what does Brie Bagwell want to say right now? And no one had ever really asked me that.
Mm.
And that I try to keep that with me. Because,
you got to.
Man, and the more you record, the more you're like, is radio going to like this? Is it short enough? Is it commercial enough? Is
man,
it, you
dude.
Know?
I think we get all lost in all that, you know? I mean, being, because, you know, Ghostland, we were doing everything ourselves in the beginning, and we still do. I mean, we've never had manager. We've never been in a tour bus.
What? We've never have had a manager?
No, we don't have. We have our own label. We've never had a major record label. But having that kind of career in the beginning for 20 years, you know, touring off and on, it's just like you get to that point where it's like you really have to continue to recheck into yourself and be like, hey, you know, am I being where I'm at? Am I being true to myself? Am I being true to my art and what I'm doing? And, you know, that's somewhere I've always tried to come back to. So I'm glad you said that, because that's where we all need to be at, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's a constant evolution. So is that why you're exploring more of this solo thing, or what? How did, you know, I'm just trying
well, you
to
know,
figure
for
out.
Sure. No, for sure. You know, it's always been me. I mean, right. I've you know, I was doing, you know, open mics at Rudamaya Coffee and 4th Street back in like early days,
what?
You know, before I started Ghostland.
Yeah.
You know? Because Ghostland, we met in the ad in the Austin Chronicle. In the back of the paper, you used to be able to put ads for different artists you'd look for. So you would like, okay, when you wanted to start a band, you'd be like, okay, I'm putting this ad out. And then you start getting some calls. You describe them. You know, I'm looking for somebody that can do like Radiohead, but has the Dire Straits in the background. You know, you just describe your lover you were looking for, you know. And you would literally try out all these musicians all week long. And Thomas ended up coming in, and it was just like, whoa.
Did you advertise for a synth player there?
We did, and we wanted some sort of like electronic musician to come in. This is like 2002.
Okay,
right?
So that's right before I got to Austin.
Okay.
So I barely missed you.
Okay.
But
so that's kind of when the brew started happening, and we literally just locked ourselves in a room. We would go to work. He was working construction. I was working at a law firm downtown, and literally we'd get off work, spend the rest of the night till like 4 a.m. every night for a good 2 to 3 years of just like hammering, trying to find our sound.
That is so incredible.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. And you know what's crazy is like now trying to find players is so hard. But I remember back then, I mean, I remember auditioning drummers when I started my band. I auditioned like 10 drummers in Austin.
Yeah.
And now it's like trying to find a touring drummer is so hard. Like I miss those days.
But does that say something about the economy probably too?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it says something definitely for sure for musicians to be able to live in Austin, be gigging musicians and live in Austin proper, you know?
Right. And I, you know, that's why I live in New Braunfels. It kind of just got too expensive. It pushed out, but they were, you know, there was a lot of things that were going on where Brendan Anthony was, they were really trying to make Austin more musician friendly. And Ham, of course, is a great,
great organization. Yes.
But it's still just, it got so hard for us all to live there. We're all kind of on the outskirts.
Dude. And when also, especially when you start having a family and you're trying to, you know, raise babies on that music money. It gets thin real quick.
It gets so thin. Yeah. Well, and I was telling Kyle, because I just had, you know, Green Hall this weekend. I just had a big money weekend this weekend.
Great.
And everybody around me was getting the flu. And I'm like, oh, no.
I can't
get sick. Like,
yes.
You're counting on money so hard that it's stressful to have to stay healthy.
Yes.
365 days a year.
Oh, dude. Especially when you're singing and you're in different environments. You're shaking hands. You're hugging people. You know, you're constantly in that environment, which I also think helps you as well.
I do too.
I really think all the early years of flights and all over the country and the world really boosted my immune system some weird way. But
I agree. I totally agree.
Totally. But and then also going back to how you were saying how I got into the acoustic thing, you know, we were doing the 4th Street thing, and you know, this is always being an artist and being a songwriter has always been in me. You know, no matter what clothing or exterior presentation you're using at it, what it always boils down to is being a songwriter, right? Are you able to tell a story that's going to capture the audience? And then if you can lay on a performer on top of being a songwriter, then you've got a great thing, right? You've got layers to your expression, you know.
Awesome. And this is, I mean, it's so fun to hear you say that you were in, you know, Austin coffee shops and stuff. I moved there in 05, so I just barely missed you.
That was great, to me, 05, 06 was like white hot.
Yeah, because you were, your ACL was when I was in college. What year was that?
I think that was 06.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, our first ACL, yeah.
So that was
the daytime show?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so wild. And yeah. I was, and y'all were popping, and that is so exciting that you found a unique sound, built a unique sound, and then were able to have this success without like that's so wild.
Well,
that's such a unique story.
Honestly, really, like it really clicked in because I remember we were playing Red Eye Fly, right? And we were really trying to, like, I was writing some of the earlier stuff, and it was more like rock, real rock heavy, and Thomas was like, no, I want to do more like beats in there. So I remember we had this one song that he would do the beats and I would dance and sing, right? It was like the first song we started doing that, right? So we were at Red Eye Fly. There was like maybe like 15 people there. I actually have this on DVD, by the way.
On
this
DVD?
This moment, I got it on DVD, Blu-ray next week. So I start dancing, right? And all of a sudden you start seeing it. Like people start kind of laughing. And then you start seeing them start kind of like loosening up and moving.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know what, it just changed the whole dynamic of the energy of the night. And people started just like moving. You started getting them and we're like, oh, dude, wait a minute. Something just happened on that song we just did, you know, like everybody started grooving. So we just leaned into that heavier, you know, and then all of a sudden it just started taking off. And then Sad Sad City, once it dropped, it was a natural thing. I mean, 101X started playing for us. I mean, it just really naturally took off. There was no like big money push behind it or anything like that.
That is so beautiful.
It was a real thing. Yeah.
Right. Because you never know anymore what is actually viral versus what is paid for viral, which, you know, whatever. I don't really care. I wish success on everybody.
Everybody do what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that is really cool that it did happen like that. Like, that's so
awesome. No, we're blessed, dude. Like, I mean, seriously. And to be able to still be able to play shows.
Yeah.
20 something years later, over 20 years, being able to still do it. And I think, honestly, having that initial success like that really solidified us being able to continue on now.
Right, and play venues like Whitewater Amphitheater.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, dude, beautiful. I love Whitewater. I mean, just the fact that we've, and that's what's been cool too, is this whole area has really always supported us and always, like, because they like to have fun. They like to have a good time, you know. So,
right. Yeah. It's kind of like whenever we play Selena at our live shows, oh, man, people just kind of, their hips start to move and their wrists start to move and they just kind of get a little.
Give them a reason to dance, you know, sometimes, you know. But then, you know, I think that's, for me, is what the wonderful balance is what I'm doing now, mm-hmm. is I'm able to not have to be so much of that front man, showman. I could just focus on just, I just want to sing you a song. Like, let me just sing you a song.
Way to bring that back around. We did go quite on a tangent. I do that. That's what I do best, is go on tangents on this podcast.
No, dude, I'm the tangent king.
But yeah, I like to be both of those people too. I like to dance around and have the beer and the drinking and the honky tonk and in your face rock and roll. But then I want to be able to sing a song that I wrote from my heart. And I did go check out a couple of your live performance videos from your coach interview the other day.
Isn't that awesome?
They're so great there. When I just went to see them in November, and it was right when the Cedar had kicked in.
Oh, dude.
And I can't even watch those videos. I was like, you're in the thick. It just was not good. I felt so bad. But your songs are very kind of like, have like a theme of life and the hardships of life, and but they're beautiful and love and, you know, the hope. And am I getting this right?
No,
I'm
totally,
doing a terrible
totally.
Job.
No, you're doing it perfect, dude. No, it's exactly what it is. It's like, and it's tough because there's not a lot of material out there for people to like digest, or they really haven't got to experience a lot of it live yet. But that's what it all is, man. I mean, it's from life. It's from living life. It's from actual things. And then some of it's, you know how it is. You pick up the guitar in the morning and sometimes it just friggin' falls right into your lap. So I think what a lot of those songs have come from is just waking up in the morning and listening and picking up the guitar and just letting it flow through, you know.
I love that. So you have a single, you put a single out,
yeah,
radio.
Single Solid Grounds out right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And I plan to just, you know, release them as the year goes, and then, you know, Christmas time we'll do a vinyl full release, you know, just,
oh, that's great,
put it in your stockings, you know.
Yeah,
and that way
big
just
foot for that.
Well, just gives it a whole year of, you know, just staying in the consciousness of the people. I mean, you know, it's tough to do it these days, you know.
I'm trying to put out a vinyl on Christmas too. Maybe we do it, we do a
there
deal,
dude. There we do, here out at Groon.
Oh my gosh, let's do it. We can do a little package.
There you go.
Yeah, buy one, get one for this.
Look at
for
there.
Regular price.
Go ahead and buy your tickets now, ladies and gentlemen, at BreeBagwell.com.
There we go. Okay, let's make that happen, a vinyl release. That would
be
so cool. Okay.
I'm down.
That would be exciting. Okay, but you are going to play, I saw. Well, wait, before I do that, is there a reason, because you put it on Apple Music and YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Is there a reason that you're doing it that way?
I'm not being anything kind of political or anything other than just like I want control of what I want to do when I want to do it.
Cool.
And I don't want to have to wait on somebody to tell me when to do it.
I love this.
So I'm just going to do what I do because, I mean, I've done what I do so far, and it's done just fine.
And it's worked just fine. I love that. And where are you recording? Is it it's a full-length record?
Yes,
then.
I'm out in out of my buddy Jonas Wilson's out at Bastrop. And he's got a great little home studio out there. Actually, it's not a home studio. It's a full-functioning, full-fledged studio. And he played for the Heartless Bastards.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
He played with Alejandro Escovedo.
Uh-huh.
And he's an amazing producer. I mean, I've known him. He was one of my first friends that I met in Austin. His band Lomita used to practice right across the hall from Ghostland.
Oh, my
gosh. At the Music Lab. That's another thing that I want to get out there. If somebody wants to do something, make a big metal barn, put a bunch of rooms in there, and, you know, help musicians have a practice space out there, because that's honestly what really created a community for us in Austin, was being able to practice all at the same place and see each other, hear each other, hang out with each other in a non-bar setting.
Yep.
It was just like right here, we're all working together, you know? And now that Austin doesn't have that, I feel like there's a loss for artists to not have a central community to come together on. And that's what we had, and that's how I met Jonas. And now he's been my lifelong friend and producer. And he plays in my band. He plays in the Midnight Stroll with me. So
that's so exciting.
Yeah.
We did just go rehearse at Space for the first time.
Oh, that's a great facility.
So now they
yes.
have. But it definitely doesn't have the same.
Not the Music Lab vibe,
I mean,
dude. No,
Music Lab and people were out there drinking.
Oh, man. Everything,
the
everything you wanted was
yeah,
there. But
it
at
was
the same
amazing.
Time, it was. Dude, it, but it was. there was just no judgment. It was just like all of us, dude, there was a reggae band over here, a thrash metal band right here. Then there would be like some symphony practicing up above you. But God, I mean, how wonderful to be fully immersed in everybody's full expressions, you know?
So when your vinyl and my vinyl go and sell all the things, maybe we can put a New Braunfels rehearsal space.
There you
because
go,
there are
dude.
So many musicians down
dude,
here.
You should.
It's wild.
I'm telling you, like, I'm like some of these good old boys that are sitting out here on these properties with some nice metal barns on it, you'll make some money.
That's
come
on. Oh my gosh. And actually, do you remember it didn't have the best soundproofing either. So if you have like a heavy
metal. No, you would have to turn up to compete with the person next
and then
to you.
They would turn up and then you'd walk out of there, your ears are ringing, but it was part of the charm. That's so exciting. Okay, so full length record, that's I'm so happy for you getting to do things the way you want it. And how involved is he in producing? As far as I know, my producer, she really kind of tears apart the songs with me, rebuilds them, and she's really involved in that. But I need somebody like that. But I think
every artist needs a different thing. You know, I think it's just figuring out where you're at, because a lot of times it is teamwork, you know, and it is unless you're wanting to just put out, you know, capture the raw energy of the acoustic version.
Yeah.
You know, you definitely want to go in there and have somebody you can play with and somebody that understands you. And luckily with him and I, we spent enough time together through life. You can't reproduce that, you know. It's the same way with Thomas, you know, with the Ghostland stuff. It's like we've spent so much time together. Ghostland is Thomas and Aaron. If one goes, it will never be again, you know. So that's the kind of relationships I'm interested in getting into with my musical partners, you know. And that's with Jonas. He, you know, I can take him a song. I'm a real hook guy. Like, a lot of times I hear the hook first.
Right.
Like, that's always my first thing. I make trot lines. I don't make hook after hook after hook after hook, okay?
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell. Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was, like, obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
So, but I hear that first, and then a lot of times I have to put the story around it, right? I'll bring the melody in after that. And then I will write out a full, like, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus out. And then I'll take it to him. I'm like, here, this, decorate it.
Love that.
You know, and then he embroiders this amazing, like, that dude will take your songs to a whole nother stratosphere.
I'm so excited to hear that, because just finding great producers in our area that I have never worked with, you know, or studios that I haven't worked with, like, that's really exciting. To shine a light, that's a lot of what this podcast does, is shine lights on great studios and great producers. And so I'm glad we're giving him some love.
Oh, we
have
to.
Love.
Honestly, that's what I think I'm realizing more and more. It's like kind of our duty at this point is to kind of continue to shine light on each other, you know, not making it a competitive atmosphere as much as just like an uplifting thing. Because once you do that, it's like, dude, our community just becomes way awesomer. And then opportunities open up for everybody.
Oh, 100%. And it's just been, not to insert myself here. This is absolutely not me inserting myself, but Paulison just purchased a synthesizer, which we have in our house.
Nice, dude.
So now I'm like, oh man. Well, the first thing I went and played was, and he was like, oh my gosh. But it's, what a crazy instrument.
Oh yeah, man. No, I mean, to me, people, those are like, honestly, Thomas Turner, working with him. I mean, that dude, you know, synthesizer folks are a different creature all in all in their own person, you know, and very amazing, crazy minds that can really create just huge, huge sound structures with those things. And man, I can't take note for anything of synthesizer world, you know. I'm more of the rock guy that came from that. Like Thomas was all synthesizer.
Right, which is why you guys were a perfect blend.
It
was. Which is why it worked out the way it did. That's so exciting. And I want to make sure we are also shining a light on, in that same vein, our friends at the Saxon Pub, because I saw you're going to be there.
Yes.
When, like,
we're
a
doing,
residency?
So we're doing, like pretty much, like, May through August, we're going to be doing every first Saturday of the month.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to be working with me and Adam, you know, the band Me and Adam. All right. So I think we're going to be doing this. We're going to be doing a show called Me, Adam, and Aaron.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. and what it is basically, you know, we will, you know, they'll be my backing band.
Cool.
For half the set, and then they'll get to play half of their set, and we'll just every Saturday, you know, first Saturday of the month.
I hope I have one of those off.
It's fun, dude. I mean, we did a song swap, Adam and I did last time we were there, and man, I just enjoy that venue. And to me, like, if I'm looking for any spot that makes me feel like I'm in Austin again, that's one of the spots I'm going to stop at.
I'm so happy that Saxon and Broken Spoke are, I think
thank
they're like
God
grandfathered
they're still,
in or something.
Thank God.
And Continental. They're preserved for forever somehow. But
good.
I agree. That would have been really tragic to lose those. I used
you
to go there.
You can't dude, because
them.
Honestly, what was crazy, and Guero's, I went there the other
yeah.
day too. It's like, it's
oh,
so
I haven't
funny.
Been there in a
like,
minute.
I had a real Austin moment like not too long ago. Like I was at the Saxon, right? I ran into all these people I haven't seen in like 15 years.
Oh my gosh.
That are old Austin folks that I used to see all the time. And then I go down to Guero's, watch my friend's band play there. And then I'm walking in and then Brett Daniel comes walking around the corner. And I'm
cool.
like, dude, this is what I remember, you know?
Yeah, I went to Austin. I went to Saxon Pub one time when I was in college, and I walked in, and it was Robert Earl Keane and Bonnie Bishop were sitting
damn.
At the bar. I was like, "What the heck,
yeah.
man?
No.
You just never know." And I love—they're like family there to me, and they've always been good to me in my career. So thank you, Saxon Pub, for being amazing.
Yes,
and also April 4th in your hometown.
San Saba, Texas.
I'm from New Mexico, so I'm always like San Saba, but it's not. It's San Saba.
It's San Saba.
Pecan land.
Pecan capital of the world.
Well, so my family pecan farms.
Okay.
So that's down in southern New Mexico. So,
okay, so
I'm like,
you know
okay,
about it.
Okay. Pecan capital of the world, okay. But no, I'm just kidding.
We got to be known for something there.
One time, there's a little tire shop there, and I meant to look it up.
Amrick's?
Maybe.
Yeah.
They opened on a Sunday to help me with the trailer tire one time.
That's
and I
awesome.
Just loved them so much. So every time I think of there, I think of, wait, the burrito lady's not there. That's Eden. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah.
I get them confused.
Well, no, there's good tacos there.
Okay, where? What? Like
Comey's
what?
Tacos.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to go to
I
Comey's.
Think I've heard of that.
Yeah, you probably have. Because did you play out of Diggs?
No.
Did you ever play in San Saba?
I've never. And you're playing there. April 4th.
April 4th, Pecan Bottom Festival.
Well, so I'm still off at this point in my life, I think. But my boyfriend's band's playing with you.
Yes, we've got Wilder Blue playing out there.
And Wade Bowen.
Wade Bowen's playing out there. Weary Boys are playing out
cool.
there. And yours truly.
Yours truly.
With a backing band.
Oh, cool.
Yes, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, yeah. Is it the Wilder
enough,
Blue?
I got me enough money for a backing band.
Yeah, look, we're moving on up in the world.
Mama, look at me. Yep. I got enough money for a backing band.
Look at there's another hook.
I like that.
Yeah, backing band. you know, all my backing bands. Checks cleared this morning and mine haven't yet. That's always fun. You know?
That's the way it goes.
No worries. They get paid on time, but they do a great job. But it is having a band nowadays is just not as easy as it used to be. But
nope.
I feel like I've been doing it wrong my whole life because now most of my guys have other jobs and they are just happy to have 5 shows a month instead of I used to guarantee my band 12 shows a month. Back in the day, and we used
damn,
to play like 15
amazing,
or 20.
That's amazing, dude.
I know, but we had no problem getting that many shows. But now it's like, hey, are you guys happy with 8? They're like,
totally, you know.
Yeah.
I work at Apple. What do I care
what
about?
Is it Dire Straits? Like, that? What is he's got a daytime job. He's doing all right.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about. That's the dude right there.
That's a good impression there.
About. Yeah. I love me some Dire Straits, dude.
Well, I love it. Are we like, did we run over? Okay, good. I just didn't want to make sure we were, because I saw your buddy drive up, old Colt Wayne.
Oh, did Colt Wayne?
In his van. I'm assuming that's him.
Straight from Terlingua, a bit.
Straight from Terlingua.
Yeah.
I am just so excited that you were here with us and that your record's coming out. Is there anything else we need to know about this upcoming record, about you at this point in your life and all the cool things that you're doing? I just am so excited for your new project and getting to hear the new stuff. I think that your message, for what it means, it feels like the music that the world needs right now. And so I just want to tell you, friend to friend, I'm proud of you for creating that type of music, because it's important right now.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And like, that's what this project is. It's just me being able to tap into those emotions and convey them in a way that I normally don't get to convey them, you know?
You don't have to jump up and down?
I can just sit on a bar stool and...
You don't have to wear braids?
No.
But you can.
I can if I want, yeah. But I don't have to. And that's nice.
That is nice.
That is nice, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to wear eyelashes. You should be thankful for that. I'm thankful.
But having dance daughters that dance competitively, I know all about those eyelashes. I'd find them on my boots.
That's right.
I'd find them on my dog. I'd find them everywhere.
They're in the shower. It's a whole different thing being, but it's also expensive.
It is. Having
daughters in dance. So it we is. Need that vinyl to come out, and you need to pre-order.
That's
that
why I'm
vinyl.
Driving a used vehicle out there right now, because it is expensive.
Join the club.
You know, life's expensive.
I'm driving my boyfriend's car currently. That's how I save money.
Fair enough. Well, no, I mean, yeah, no, AaronBarons.com.
Perfect.
You can follow me at Aaron Barons on Instagram. But the one thing I want people to know is just, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. So keep your ear out.
Yeah.
I'll be around.
Yeah.
Call me if you need me.
What are we going to do now? We have to do this forever.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
Oh, so, dude, no, you've already bought the ticket.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of the ride right now. Okay.
I hope we're in the middle.
Yeah, you got to stay buckled.
Because I'm like, who's going
to... It's about to go back up.
My retirement account is still pretty empty at this point in my life, so I got to keep going.
I think you always got to keep going. I think you'd get bored if you didn't.
And I am proud of you for keeping going, and we can't wait to catch your solo shows. And I'm going to come to that Saxon Pub, but please go support the Saxon Pub, because they, you know, support Aaron, of course, but just that venue in general.
Support all of us.
And the new venue that you wanted to shout out real quick in Bertram, because I don't know about this. The Standard?
Well, the Standard, yeah. So it's owned by the same people that own the Globe Theater. So it's a wonderful restaurant down in Bertram, Texas. If you stop by. Say hello
to people. That's an amazing little gem of a place too. Well, thanks for driving out to my RV today. I didn't bring my dog. We're friends, but I didn't know if sometimes people are like, they're not.
I'm very much. I'm a dog.
Okay.
I'm a dog myself.
I knew that about you. Thanks, friend. I appreciate it so much. Thanks, Kyle.
As the world comes tumbling down. Your faith, follow all your stars.